Pat Mahomes Sr. was a 5'9" high school junior who was all state in football, averaged 30 points per game in basketball, and was all state in baseball. He was offered to play all three sports in college, and he was the salutatorian of his high school class.
Damn. Play the music.
This is the Dominique Foxworth Show.
All right. So not that we didn't already know where he got it all from, but now it's quite evident. I didn't know.
What do you think he thinks about Jackson Mahomes?
Yeah, he's got to be annoyed. And Jackson's like tall, too.
Yeah, he's a good high school basketball player, apparently.
Oh, was he? Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, the dancing and all the background is just too much. But anyway, speaking of unusual behaviors, Kyrie Irving had a big piece about him in New York Magazine that was eye-opening, I guess. I don't know. I guess it's the whole Kyrie saga, I guess it is at this point. Is weird for me for a few reasons. And I think I want badly to be sympathetic to Kyrie Irving, and he makes it hard. And when you read this piece, you go in and out of, at least for me, feeling sorry for him, understanding him, being angry at him. And it just made me think about how he's searching for meaning, and he also, which is like normal, I think all of us at some level are searching for meaning. And there's some things in there that he's incredibly angry, which I kind of understand. Like, you considering the things that happen regularly, not just to him or not just to Black people, like in society, it's reason to be angry all the time. Like, what's another school shooting happening? Like, I get where Kyrie is coming from on so many different things, but what it feels like is for me, at least, he feels like, and I don't want to say, because I'll say what I'm thinking, and then I'll try to clean it up afterwards. But it feels like his maturity is like stunted at a certain point. And when you say it, the reason why I was hesitant to say maturity is because there feels like there's some judgment in that, like he's a big baby, which I don't know if he is or if he isn't. But what happens to so many of us, I think, is, at least I know for me, is as someone who I see a little bit of this curiosity that Kyrie has, I see that in myself. And the world kind of beats it out of you, you know, at a certain point, you're like, man, I got to make some money. I can't sit around and like be complaining about this or complaining about that or upset about this, or even just spend the time reading and watching videos. Because at some point, I remember it was like, we didn't have the internet when I was a kid, which is a crazy sentence to say, but like when I was really young, we certainly didn't have Google or Wikipedia or YouTube or all these rabbit holes to fall into. But I remember, and frankly for me, the first time was hitting puberty. It was like, that was the thing that like first hit and kind of knocked the curiosity out of me. It was like, oh man, I want to get some girls. So I'm sitting around reading nerd stuff. And then like you get older and you're like, man, and you start to realize like inconsistencies and unfair things about society and about life. And then at a certain point you're like, oh, well, can't fix it. Can't beat them, join them, you know? And it just at every, I guess, checkpoint in your life, we all go through the same process, and there's like forks in the road where it's like, all right, I'm going to stay a part of mainstream society, or am I going to veer off? And so many times it's like noble to veer off. You could argue that it would be noble to veer off for certain reasons. Like, the world is unfair. Yeah. And if that is a motivation for you to like reject capitalism and start a revolutionary movement, man, they write books about people like that. They make movies about people like that. You can be revered for that sort of thing, and it's something that we celebrate. But if the fork in the road that you take outside of the mainstream is something that's like not founded in reality and like there are bits and pieces of it connected to reality, then that's the problem. And I guess back to the original thing is this part of I used to joke about how being a professional athlete allows you not to grow up in so many ways. And it's not a joke. There are many ways that you don't have to grow up. So like you grow up really fast in some ways where it's like I was 23 buying a single family home and I didn't even have a family. And so I was like doing that and it was a stupid decision, but I thought it was like the smart, mature thing to do. And no, not very many 23-year-olds are doing that. And I'm making those decisions that are impacting my parents. And, you know, like I'm doing these grown up things, but I also am going to the club every day and doing lots of other dumb things that that 20 somethings do. And I think I remember being on a team and some of my other teammates, I had my parents still very involved and very helpful. So like some of the things like setting up somebody to clean the house when I first got a place and setting up somebody to do the lawn and do all that stuff. Like I could lean on my parents to do that. But so many of the guys didn't have that type of support. And so their agent would do that. So like that all goes into like still having an avenue to kind of not mature. It's like there's somebody you hire an accountant almost immediately when you're in the NFL. So like doing your taxes and worrying about all that stuff are things that you don't have to worry about. These grown-up things that you don't have to involve yourself in. And I see some of that in this Kyrie, and I'm hesitant to say it in a judgmental way because I think some of us should hold on to those childlike things because they're better. Like being open-minded and being willing to change your mind and being open to new ideas is better. It's risk and reward. Obviously the risk is you end up going down some ridiculous rabbit hole, but the reward is you can also find meaning in your life that other people don't have the aperture open wide enough for them to find. So I don't know where to end up on this piece. I think that it's a wild ride. And there was a lot of crazy things that jumped out to me. I keep thinking about the author. One of the authors that he reads a lot was making parallels to Black athletes being good in games that use brown balls and white athletes, big brown balls and white athletes being good in games that use tiny white balls. Like it's just a lot of ridiculous things in here.
Yeah. This is Frances Cresswell saying who Kyrie said she's one of the goats for sure for me. And said that amongst other things, white men who give their mothers boxes of chocolates on Valentine's Day because of a latent desire to ingest chocolate with nuts. So there's some weird stuff. And I think a lot of this piece in New York Magazine went into how Kyrie sort of ended up with all of his belief system and trying to get into who he was. A lot of people online are calling it a hit piece. I think it was actually pretty fair outside of the title of calling him a bona fide weirdo, which I also think is pretty fair. But I have a question for you off this, and it's about Kyrie being open-minded.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur. Barnstown, Kentucky. 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Swimsuit, check. Sunscreen, check. Phone charger, check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or in a carry-on. And the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
And my question is, do you think it's hypocritical that Kyrie's worldview is one that he is always asking questions, but he's so against being questioned himself? and his beliefs being questioned.
I mean, I don't know if I would use the word hypocritical, but I do see like a bit of a contradiction there. I guess the thing is, I don't think that it's hard to explain the things that he believes in. And I also like think, so I guess this is why I wouldn't say hypocritical, is you don't need to explain to people stuff you believe in. You know, so like it's not hypocritical to feel that you're open-minded and feel that you're open to lots of different ways of approaching things. And it's unfortunate that it seems like some of these unusual beliefs are calcified and they are like core to who he is now, and that stinks. But it also appears that he was malleable much later in life than many of us are, which I think is like, again, it's high risk, but I think it's commendable. Like, I wish that I was more open to different things, but I also don't wish that I was open to that stuff. I wonder where the tipping point was.
Yeah.
You know, cause that's what it feels like to me. It's like, once you get on the other side, because it's the conviction that he has and the things that he believes. And this is what I keep reminding myself. And when we talk about Aaron Rodgers, like, I don't want to get in a position where I'm like defending Aaron Rodgers and Kyrie Irving. Like, I think that they got the world figured out, but I do want to defend against calling them weirdos and stuff like that, because I don't think, because some of the things that they believe works for them is no less outrageous than some of the things that we consider like mainstream and work for other people. So there are some things that are dangerous that they believe in. And those are things that I have no problem like calling them out on that stuff, but just generally being open to sitting in a dark room for 4 days, to me, doesn't make you, it makes you unusual, but that's no, and I mean no disrespect to anybody's religion, but the idea that you need to confess, like I go to Catholic church with my wife fairly often, the idea that I need to take part in a confessional, like, it's pretty weird too, but it's something we accept.
Well, doesn't the outcome matter? Because I think Kyrie's sort of transcended where Aaron Rodgers is, and it's right. One thing to be open-minded, but if you end up open-minded in something that can veer towards hate speech, and this article, you know, said that one of the tipping points from him was during COVID, when he was, or maybe before COVID, living in Boston with his best friend Alex Jones, not that Alex Jones, and they went on the conspiratorial YouTube rabbit hole, like. To me, it's not commendable to have judgment and be open to the point of being malleable that you can do bad stuff. Because whether or not he needs to answer to his worldviews, he's opened himself up to that in the public sphere.
Yeah. I appreciate you calling that out if it sounds like that's what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying at all. And that's kind of why I was hesitant to say that he's immature or he's childlike, but it does remind me a lot of a child. And except the problem is he has the strength of an adult and the reach of a celebrity, and that's not something you would give to a child. And that's the real scary part, because like 6-year-old, 5-year-old kids are irrational and like could be dangerous if they were like adults that had power and influence and following. And it kind of feels like the same thing for him. And in the same way that I would like be disappointed in my 6-year-old for throwing a tantrum, I would also be like, well, it's a 6-year-old.
Yeah.
And I kind of feel like that for Kyrie, except the problem is his tantrum can actually hurt.
Yeah.
And that's so then I can't just like forgive it, but it's also like, I don't know. Maybe I'm in a particularly like empathetic mood today when we're discussing this, but the good thing about this piece is it tried to explain how he got here, and that humanized him for me. And obviously you can go back and listen to anything else that we've done, but like when he did that Hebrews the Negroes promotion, like it was easy for me to be adamantly against the hate speech and whatever would whatever else could happen as a result of it. Like, you're empowering people. Like, there, this can be connected to violence. Like, that's easy and obvious because that's an isolated incident. But I can say that, and I can also read this story and be reminded that nothing is an isolated incident. Right. Everything was a journey, and he, the cocktail of losing his mother and having an injury at the right time or at the wrong time, and having a special talent in basketball that allow him to like avoid some of those like smoothing processes, because that's kind of what happens is when most of normal people go through life, you're like a rough rock, and then you bounce up against all these little barriers as you go through life, and it smooths you out until you end up like pretty much just like everybody else, or some variation of like a normal functioning adult. Because he's really great at basketball, I don't think he went through all of those. And yeah, I guess it's the difference between explaining and excusing. So yeah, I don't want this to come off that I'm excusing any of this stuff, but it does.
The question is, like, I think you're doing something that a lot of people have done. Does it feel like, to excuse it, do we have to infantilize him? Because we're now comparing him to a 6-year-old.
Yeah, that's probably just as bad as anything else. So I guess I don't know how to handle this, because I don't know how else to explain this in a way that makes sense to me. And so and that's why I was hesitant about the maturity thing and the child thing. But I don't know any other. I think the erosion is the best analogy that I can come up with that makes it feel like it makes some sort of sense to me, is that he hasn't gone through these processes. And he also, like, you combine that with him, to me at least, seeming like a very smart person who's also very curious and has not and got tipped in the wrong direction. Well, or what? Yeah, go ahead.
Why do you think he's smart? Because we've talked about this before, and like, he's very eloquent and he's incredible at putting together word salads, but like, a lot of his actions to me don't scream as it, they don't align with the people who I look to as the like thought leaders in my life.
To be fair, I think smart is probably a bad word because it's not specific. I think what I mean is curious.
Okay.
And I equate curious people with smart people often. It's like people who are looking for information. Because smart's one of those words that, like, you could be a genius in one area and not, but I think we often just say, oh, this guy's smart because he wears glasses and he reads a lot, but doesn't mean you're smart. But I guess there are levels of like intellectual horsepower, I guess. And I don't know him, but I guess the curiosity that he shows at least makes me feel like he's got above average intelligence.
Yeah, it's so interesting to me because like I hear him talk and then I read the transcripts of what he said and I'm like, that does not align with a smart person to me. That aligns with someone who has really bad judgment and says things that anyone, but if it was like not wrapped in a package that sounded good, I would call that person a moron. I'm not calling Kyrie a moron, but the things he says are often moronic.
Yeah. And I think it's also wrapped in the package of success too, which like if he was yelling this on the street corner, you're right. I wouldn't be like, hey, that's a smart person. And I'd be like, this poor weirdo.
It's so weird. Like Kyrie's most recent comments were he was the first one to show up to shoot around and he made a point of telling the media. There's so much talk about like, everything else, not how hard I work on a basketball court. And I'm like, I wonder why that is, Kyrie. Like this is the dialogue he created in so many ways.
Yeah. I mean, all the way back to the flat earth and thing. I think also I have an appreciation for people who are willing to stand up for something. And it does matter what you're willing to stand up for, but I think we talked about this on Tuesday's episode, I think, with Ashley, how sacrifice is like my love language and I appreciate that. And that I think is also part of the reason why I'm like looking for ways to understand Kyrie is the difference between him and Aaron Rodgers in COVID was Aaron Rodgers had a position, and rather than publicly state his position, he kind of did, he lied. And he, and that bothered me. Kyrie Irving was like, nah, okay, I believe this. Okay, it's going to cost me money. It's going to cost me time to play. That's fine. I will pay that I will pay that price. And like, I respect that even if I don't agree with it.
Well, and okay. And this gets to your, you were in unions and you fought for the middle class and lower class of players. And this was pointed out in the article that part of Kyrie's sacrifice, don't you feel it's different that he's made $232 million from his NBA career already plus his Nike salary? So like the sacrifice and standing up for it, it's not the same.
No, I agree. Wholeheartedly agree. The size of the sacrifice does matter, but it doesn't mean it's not a sacrifice.
Yeah.
And I guess maybe I also buy into this hype that he really loves basketball. Maybe he doesn't really love basketball that much because it like the idea that he was giving up this thing that he loves and he's so good at was also part of it. I don't think that he had to like he had to sell his condo because he wasn't playing, obviously. I do think that the public backlash is a sacrifice. And I hate that I find myself in this position where it feels like I'm trying to defend him because it's certainly not what I'm trying to do. But I don't find it interesting to be like, hey, Kyrie's a crazy person.
No, I totally understand. I think this is one of the interesting things about Kyrie. Besides, so I think the anti-Semitism discussion got wrapped up into a ton of the reaction to it and the fairness of the reaction beyond the act and him saying, you know, I can't be anti-Semitic because I know where I come from. That got obscured by everything afterwards. But if you remove that, which is impossible to do in totality, you talk about his vaccine stance, you talk about the flat earthing things. In a vacuum, they're all pretty easy to swat away. It's the totality of it that makes you wonder who he is. And was there anything that surprised you from this piece about you left thinking something different about Kyrie Irving?
No, I think generally what surprised me is while you say it's being taken as a hit piece by a lot of people online, I walked away feeling like he was humanized, which is not a hit piece and it's not a fluff piece. It's a well-written piece to me, in my view. So, that surprised me is as I was reading this article, I saw a little boy whose mom died when he was young and I saw like him looking to fill all these things. And it's a story well done. And I saw him looking for meaning and looking for purpose and looking for guidance. And that's the way the story was written. And it made me like think, God damn, wish somebody could have guided him in a different direction.
Yeah. I found myself thinking a lot about inner child therapy, a technique of trying to think back to who you were at a certain age and how that shaped who you are. And I found that being the main point of connection that I thought was really easy for me to understand was that he's shaped by bad shit that happened to him, like all the rest of us. But then the second thing that I thought was really interesting to push forward was just the concept of how much should we as the media and people care about the fringe beliefs of athletes given the platform that we've given them and the immediacy with which they can sort of disseminate their intellectual firepower. Like this dude can just go on Twitch and talk about, you know, what amounts to starting a cult and having everyone live out of a wooden store on land that he owns. And I don't know if that's a good thing that we as a media have to digest and take seriously all of the thoughts of every athlete who has these fringe beliefs.
Well, I guess then what's the alternative? If you don't take it seriously, then he'll go live on a cult or live on his land and start a cult. Like, I think the fact that you take it seriously, like shines light on it. I don't know because we're not at a point that, I mean, everyone we know understands that they don't need us for reach at this point. There was a time where we didn't know much about athletes or about celebrities unless there was a profile written about them. That time is gone. And the athletes have And I think they have their followings, which also probably is the reason why people like Kyrie are comfortable taking these very like controversial stances, is because they do have an echo chamber that is in support of them. So that's not going to go away. So us ignoring it isn't going to make it any less impactful. It's just, we're just going to be shocked when a cult comes out of the woods.
I think I might have phrased that sort of wrong too. And I want to put it into your experience. Like, you transformed from athlete to media person, but in the middle, you did a lot of things and you sort of earned the voice that you have on a television platform and podcast platform, et cetera, through being really thoughtful on a lot of things. And I think what's happened and transformed is athletes everywhere have become thought leaders because they're athletes with big platforms. Right. And to me, that seems like something that might not always be good. And Kyrie is an example of that.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I can't argue it. I think it's overly simplistic to say any type of like development is all good or all bad. So there's good with the bad. There's bad with the good. The way things were before, when the media controlled all the narratives and story about athletes and that determined how we thought about them, that wasn't great, particularly for athletes like Kyrie, like Black athletes specifically, mm-hmm. and athletes with and I mean just people in general. That limited access was bad. So like, yeah, we're in a world where now Kyrie could create a cult through Twitch, but we're also in a world where we have access to know like a better idea of what a person is. Like, I can't think of who's the person. It's hard to imagine who's the person who would be painted in the bad light now, or painted in an unfair light now, because it feels like we have a better understanding of who these people are. You know, like if you read about, I think Dr. King's always a good example, because if you read about Dr. King, you can find stuff that from the time that says all the positive things. If you read things now, you can find out that like he was human and he did lots of human things. And I don't know if it's better to have a full complete picture of someone. No, I do know. I think it's better to have a complete picture of someone and understand that they're human rather than deify them or to vilify them. And it just, we have a better picture of who Kyrie Irving actually is, which I think that more information is helpful. It's better than less information.
That's interesting. I lean more towards like the deplatforming of people who have sort of proven time and time again that like their thoughts aren't always worth listening to. And I know that's not totally right either, but that's like the way I lean with it. I'm like, I don't really want to hear what you think on things after you lose that much credibility.
But I feel like that's two different things. Yeah.
Yeah.
Deplatforming someone because what they're doing is dangerous, I'm in complete support of that. But I guess I thought you were talking about like the climate and the atmosphere in general now with more access to people like there.
Well, yeah. Well, it's just part of the access is that people take everything that he says seriously. And he has like, even with a sort of a fair picture of Kyrie, there's a massive swath of people online who constantly, because he appeals to different fringes, think that he's being treated unfairly. And it's like, nah, he did this. This is the fair outcome.
Yeah, yeah. I'm certainly not caping for Kyrie to say that he was treated unfairly in any stretch. All right, well, I don't know. It's a good piece. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, so should we do some more sports things that are not like that? That had nothing to do with sports, actually. So maybe we should do something sports related in this program. Mm. What do you think? Juju, NBA? I didn't particularly appreciate the Juju tweet, but then he got all the backlash. It was, I mean, it kind of felt like nothing, honestly.
Can I zag? We only have to do a second on Juju.
All right, cool.
But can I zag on it for a second? After,
cool. To be clear, I guess we should say, just in case people didn't know, so after the Chiefs won the game, Juju tweeted out a joke Valentine's card about holding with a picture of Bradbury on it. It's the guy who held Juju in that pivotal play that ended the Super Bowl. All right.
Yeah.
Zag
so,
away.
So AJ Brown, perfect quote tweet, called him TikTok boy, gave him two congratulations on either end. A perfect insult, a chef's kiss of insult. But my zag is, it became everything on Twitter. Literally every player who could was like, I can get internet points if I just dunk on Juju Smith-Schuster now. And there was just like a bevy of players from the Chiefs, from other NFL teams, Tyreek Hill, who were all just jumping on it. And I was like, this was awesome when AJ Brown did it. And now it's just lame. You have not been as funny as the first quote tweet.
Yeah, I didn't see it originally until you shared the AJ Brown response. And I haven't seen all the responses. But yeah, you're just a contrarian. It's tough. We both can't be contrarians. One of us is gonna have to be in the mainstream every now and then, because I tend to find myself disagreeing with the general population.
When's it funny when you're the 20th person to tell the joke?
Yeah, I guess. I just don't care. It's like, it's minor. If Bradbury's all right, then we're good. Because it's like, he didn't hurt anybody. It's just some lame trash talk that seems like unnecessary. You know, it's not like it's Eli Apple, someone who like would talk trash the whole game and would probably tweet the same thing at you had he won. It's like Bradbury, after the game, was like, yeah, I did it. He seemed like a good dude. What are you doing? And he didn't say anything to you. He's not starting something. You just went and sought him out to roast him. Like, what are you doing?
It was lame. Also, Bradbury had the perfect tweet afterwards, which was just that he got named to the All-Pro team in 2022.
It's fair. Pretty good football player.
This is also not having to do with sports, but something I'm super excited about. Did you see Vin Diesel is doing the All-Star introductions in Salt Lake City in Utah?
I did not. Why? What is he from Utah? Or why are we? I don't like this. I didn't like when The Rock like introduced the Super Bowl last year. You remember that? Where he came down on the field and like before the kickoff. I don't know. I didn't like it. And people loved it. I thought like the response to The Rock thing was huge. And I was watching like, this is not cool, but I guess I'm not cool because people liked it, right?
I think so. This one people are gonna like, ironically, which I like this is not like after the comedy introductions where we got so much meme potential. Vin Diesel talking about the NBA family is gonna be incredible.
Why? Like, so I don't know how we ended up with the NBA All-Star game in Utah anyway. That seems, I mean, I guess you gotta rotate it, send it everywhere, but like, are they going to change the laws just for the weekend? Because don't they got like soda pop shops there? Because you can't drink after a certain time, right?
Going to have a lot of milk. A lot of milk at All-Star Weekend. Gosh. No, I mean, this is like, I feel like a disaster for NBA PR that you got, you know, Karl Malone judging a dunk contest of Trey Murphy and Mac McClung and other people I've never heard of.
Hold on, Carmelo's going to be a part of this? I thought the NBA tried to distance himself from the sadness that is Karl Malone.
He's back with it being in Utah. And I believe he also said that he's going to use the platform to I'm on a mission to take care of my retired brothers. If someone has financial hardship, what can we do about it? I can't execute the plan, but I'm going to put it in play, and I'm not going to take no for an answer. So he's coming on your corner at All-Star Weekend.
Well, I mean, I guess go for it. More power to you. I don't understand what he's going to do, but okay, yeah. Take care of retired players. He's trying to win back because don't basketball players not really mess with Karl Malone either.
Yeah, I mean,
it's just an unusual fella. Yeah. All right, Charlie. I think I'm out of things to discuss, but I do want to turn people on to something that I enjoy. We're going to do a watch along. And because of the era of streaming and you watch whenever, like it's hard to do a current show watch along because people have to watch at a certain time, blah, 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 blah. They all can't be up to date, spoilers, blah, blah. So I'm going to do a watch along for a show that I enjoy that doesn't get enough love. It's Southside on HBO. It used to be on Comedy Central. So we'll start episode 1, season 1, watch along. It's a comedy. So there aren't really spoiler alerts, but it'll be fun. I guess I feel like I'm not from Chicago. So I don't know. Maybe we'll get a person from Chicago to come be a guest and tell us, explain the stuff that we don't get. All right. Appreciate you, Charlie. Thanks, Christina, Sarah, Addie. Everybody's great. Bye.
This is the Dominique Foxworth Show.